Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an Hour of Mind Power. This broadcast is coming to you live from Fairbanks, Alaska, and my guest today is in the Pacific Northwest, and our studio is in California. Thank God for technology. Isn't it amazing what we're able to do? Well, today we're going to be talking about a love story. It has a few twists and turns in its telling, but I think you're going to find that there are some wonderful gifts that can be shared with us. My guest, Michael Skoronski. And Michael, I hope I didn't massacre your last name.
No, you got it correct.
Woohoo! That's a chop brownie point up for me. I'm so glad. Now, that's Polish, is it not?
Yeah, it's Polish.
Wonderful. I wasn't sure, but it is just such a unique name, and I thought, I cannot cause harm to his name. Michael, your book is titled Unforgettable, A Love and a Spiritual Growth Story. You're a man that has, well, a good background. You've been involved with Microsoft. You felt that this story had to be told because even though you've been involved in science and software engineering, you have wanted to delve into the unknown. That's something that's been very important to you. You've lived in the U.S., Japan, Australia, and India, and traveled around the world. You have done all kinds of adventures. You've sought out thrill-seeking experiences. Yet there was one woman that changed your life so dramatically. And you make a statement that life is training us, evolving us. And we're going to talk a little bit about this very, very special relationship. It's with a woman, Catherine. But before we do, I'm going to go to the end of your book, and I want to share one of the gifts that Catherine left, if you don't mind my doing it that way.
Absolutely.
She said, the one thing in life is certain, and that is that it is constantly changing. The cycle of death and rebirth in each season are reminders that nothing ever truly dies, but is rather transformed into the next cycle of reality. And so, for you to accept being deathly afraid of change is for you to accept death without accepting the magic of what is to come next. I do have compassion for your pain, that in only accepting fear of the unknown and hiding from change, you're only able to see a small fraction of the picture. Perhaps by allowing yourself to step past the fear of change into the knowledge that you are safe in each moment, it will allow you to relax and expand instead of contract in fear. She goes on further to say, in 1991, I left a very dysfunctional 16-year marriage, left my home of 12 years, family, and friends, because I knew somehow that anything would be better than what I was living. And so I moved out of the state and began again. It was the scariest thing I've ever done and the single most miraculous thing I could have done for myself. I won't tell you that it was all a bed of roses or that it was easy, but it has been filled with miracles beyond my wildest dreams, and it was the best year of my life. And each year since just gets better. Until we've closed doors that no longer serve us, we can't open the new doors that are waiting for us. I wish you many blessings on whatever adventures you choose. An ending is also a beginning. God bless you, Catherine. This woman is no longer with us in physical form. We'll talk a little bit about her story. But the two of you came together and you transformed each other's lives. Michael, why did you decide you wanted to put everything in black and white in a book?
Well, for the reasons that was stated in that letter from Catherine that you had read, that the changes we experienced were so dramatic and so wonderful and so beautiful that I wanted other people to realize it was possible, that it wasn't just something that happens to some people and not everyone. These things can happen to anyone. You know, I felt like I was an ordinary person. I felt that Catherine was an ordinary person. Yet we experienced extraordinary events and changes within ourselves simply by following the wisdom of some very wise teachers. And you know, it made a huge difference in our lives, and I believe anyone can make such a change.
You have a number of statements that I found very interesting. You say too many people believe they're stuck with their personality and often say, that's just how I am. Now, part of the love story that you talk about in your book is how you and Catherine grew through ever-expanding situations. And the two of you really didn't start out saying, gee, you're it for me. I mean, this is something that evolved.
Yes. That's very true. A part of the reason that I presented the book the way I did and the way I was so honest with about some of the things that occurred between us in it was to show that that evolution of a person is possible, that if we purposely and deliberately try to make changes, try to change the way we think and the way that we act, that we can actually accomplish that. That we basically have established habits in our lives, habits in the way we think, which is at the root of everything that we do and everything that we say. And certainly those habits, because they start in our thoughts, also extend to what we do and say. And so by changing how we think, by first deliberately deciding that we want to, that's called intention, then by focusing on what we want the new thoughts to be, the new words we would speak to be, the new actions we would take to be, by shifting to focusing on those and learning what those would be and rehearsing those in our minds and deliberately stopping ourselves when we catch ourselves in old patterns and choosing to start enacting the new pattern, we do change. Our habits change. And as those things change, so do the things we attract in our lives, the way that people treat us, the way that people receive us. And miracles happen.
Now, you met Catherine in a dance class. And you had gone through quite a bit in your life up to then. In fact, you were a recovering addict. Am I correct?
Yes.
And what was it that attracted the two of you to each other?
You know, that's a thing I think that is probably true about anyone, what I'm going to say here. And the thing that attracts us to other people is, especially when you have a relationship that goes this deep, is that there's an energy that is of similarity. Like attracts like. Both of us had a desire to grow. Both of us wanted a spiritual life partner, someone we could talk to and enjoy life, enjoy touch, and enjoy companionship and friendship with. We were both looking for that. So, you know, the universe matched us up. I also believe that significant relationships like this are arranged prior to coming into our lifetimes, that we make these arrangements, you know, before we're even born. These are major events in our lives, and somehow, some way, in the process of life that's hidden from most of us most of the time, there's a decision-making process that goes on. And so this was a prearranged occurrence, actually.
Now, when you met Catherine, you had this tremendous attraction to her. She had a tremendous attraction to you. She had been in a marriage where she was very badly abused by her spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it that made her realize she didn't need to go back into that anymore?
Oh, well, it was difficult for her to let go of that relationship and to get him out of her life. She had tried a couple of times without success, and, you know, finally she did have success and got him kicked out of the house and locked him out. And it was kind of an interesting story because she put a great deal of effort into getting all his keys to the house, and once he left the house, she unplugged the garage door opener so that he couldn't get back in, and then she called him at work and told him all your most important things are, you know, in some suitcases on the porch, and I'll send the rest of your stuff to you later. And so he came back and tried getting in and tried looking for hidden keys and couldn't get in and banged on the doors and everything and eventually went away. And she had fibromyalgia at that time. And within a few hours of him leaving, she was fine. Her fibromyalgia disappeared. And so, you know, that was a bit of a struggle for her to do that. Then, you know, we met a few months later, and she had started going to a New Thought church and was, you know, getting into her spiritual growth. And she had taken a dance class, something that she could have never imagined doing because she was in such ill health. And she was enjoying life, and she was seeing a new possibility, one that I had brought into her life, and of course what she had also brought into her own life through the other friends she was making. And it just didn't seem like a good thing to get back together with him. She even considered it at one point when a friend of hers tried talking her into it, and the ex came over to have a talk with her, and for a few hours, you know, they hammered on her and got her to think about it seriously, and she even called me and told me, well, she's going to get back together with him, and I was pretty disappointed, but I decided to just let it be that way if that's what she was really going to do. And then, you know, the next day she called me and said, oh, what a mistake I made. That was crazy of me to even think I could go back to him. And so that was the end of it. That's the last time she considered it seriously.
Now, you said there was a moment when you first started being with Catherine. And again, we're talking about his book, Unforgettable. And so often when we meet people, we find couples have been together for 25 years, 30 years, whatever we say. How do you meet? I mean, that's so exciting to us. It's something we want to know if there's some special magic that made it happen. And there's that undescribable or indescribable something that occurs that you can no more put your finger on than a man on the moon. And when it happens, it just is. And
yeah.
That's what happened with you and Catherine. And both of you were scared to death of it.
Well, it's a wonderful feeling. It's, you know, we met up at the dance class, and it was like we immediately started, you know, talking to each other. And after class, a group of us would go out dancing, and, you know, it seemed to be gravitating towards her and dancing with only her. And the few times that I would dance with the ladies, I'd always be looking, where is she in the room, you know, and wanting to come back over to spend time with her.
Right, that's what
know.
I mean. It's that something.
Yeah,
and
it's a nice feeling.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful feeling, and you describe it, and you talk about what you guys went through, because in a way, you both had gone through very difficult times in your life. And you describe yourself as being this macho male boy. You were really going to show Catherine how she could do certain things. And you're so candid in this book about how, as a man, you had certain things, and you said, as it turned out, she taught you a lot.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating how we evolve through relationships, and I think that is so important to be able to understand. Nothing is black and white, and it's that evolution. When you're with someone who is a partner with you, you're going to pull, you're going to tug, you're going to grow, you're going to have mad moments, you're going to have happy moments, you're going to have ecstatic moments, you're going to have in the pit moments. And you and Catherine had this tremendous bond that enabled you through all of this growth and stretching as individuals to be able to continue to expand yourself, yet love each other and be together as a couple.
Yeah, that's true. We did. This is, you know, if two people are really trying, if two people really wish to make it happen, it'll happen that way. And that's what we both had. We had two people that were trying. And like you said, the mad moments, the angry moments, the fighting and all that, it was definitely there with Catherine and I. And, you know, I talk about that pretty candidly in the book. But the truth was, we did love each other, and we came back to the point and the perspective of, this is my best friend. This is the person I love. And somehow we can make it through this. And we got the help when we needed it. We got counseling. We went to counselors. We had teachers that were teaching us. We had, you know, regular counselors, and we also had some psychic channelers who were giving us information from a psychic level that was seeing beyond what we would perceive with our eyes and you know, the words that we would hear each other saying, to, you know, really seeing through us to our real intentions and what we were really trying to get out of each other. And and helped us see that in ourselves so that we could decide, is that what we really want, or is there something deeper that we want? And so we took all that in, and we kept reaching, and it was worth it. It really was. We both changed a lot because of it.
Yes, I'd say so. You both grew tremendously as individuals. And you make some suggestions as you're going through the book, and this one I pulled out because I thought it was interesting. And this is for those of you out there maybe that are looking for someone special. If you want a quick way to sort someone out, this is it. Listen to them tell you about 3 to 5 people in their life. Let them pick the people to talk about. What kind of things do they say about these people? Ask yourself, is this the role I want to play in their life? Is this how I want them talking about me a few months from now? Then listen to yourself talk about others and turn these questions on yourself. That's a very interesting perspective.
Oh, it's absolute truth, too. It works really well.
You also talk about resistance. And you say, resistance gives power to the thing you are resistant. Focus your mind, your thoughts, your energy on what you do want, not on what you don't want. Stop reading, stop doing, sit and contemplate this. This is at the end of one of your chapters. And that is so important. And I think too many times we watch too many movies. When it comes to relationships, there's no such thing as a perfect human being. This is my opinion. They don't exist, period. And we come together with people so that we can grow and expand ourselves. That's not something that a lot of people want to hear. They want to hear a Cinderella story of some kind.
Yeah.
And if they're going to ride off in a pumpkin coach, well, hate to tell you folks, but pumpkins decompose. Anyway, this is something that you really bring out in your book very, very clearly.
Well, that's true. It is true. The thing is, you're going to find a match when you're looking for a partner. You are going to find a match to some, you know, if you've got that really good energy, that strong energy there, you're going to find someone that's a perfect match to you. Because if you're a bit of a manipulative person, or you're really afraid of being manipulated, you know, that focus on those energies are going to attract that kind of a person to you. You know, like Catherine was a doormat kind of a personality. She would allow people to walk all over her when we first met. And I was arrogant. I needed, my self-esteem needed a boost, and I got that boost by trying to act better than people and trying to stand out as being better than other people. And so Catherine and I were a good match in the beginning. But as she changed and started getting strong and setting up for herself, I also had to change. And the same was true. When I changed, she had to change. So because we were both changing, for us to stay together and stay compatible with each other, we both had to change. And I think this is why a lot of relationships end, is because only one person is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're changing in directions that they no longer are attractive to each other. They no longer match. You know, one person may be becoming more arrogant, more full of themselves, you know, instead of less. And the other person may be coming into more greater self-esteem and not needing people to walk all over them anymore to see that they really are a worthy, worthwhile person. And so the relationship ends because of that. But if both people are becoming awake and becoming aware of their shortcomings and healing those and coming more into balance with life, then the relationship can make it through those storms and come into balance as a relationship as well.
Now, you had a number of very interesting experiences with Catherine because she, bless her heart, she just had so many physical things that she had gone through. And you said she had a fascinating medical history. There was a 25-page report detailing all of her surgeries, her x-rays, her medications, the doctors she had gone to, and she maintained everything because she didn't want to have to write it out for the next doctor she went to see. So here's this woman with this tremendous chronology of things that she's gone through, and before the situation with fibromyalgia, where you said when her ex-husband left, all of a sudden she was over it. That just shows the mind-body connection on so many different levels. But when she was 19, you talk about her accident that she had, and she was thrown from a car, and when she awakened, because she'd gone into a coma, she couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She got a mirror, and she found that she had had brain surgery. They'd put a steel plate in her head.
Yeah, that was a pretty dramatic event. It caused her to lose her sense of smell as well. And she got that sense of smell back, you know, in her, you know, that happened at age 19, and here she was in her early 40s, about 43, 44, and during the course of this spiritual growth we were doing, she got her sense of smell back by doing an exercise and dealing with remembering events from her early childhood and her early 20s, and dealing with the anger around those events and writing this all out on in forms of letters that she never did send the letters, but they were letters to family members who she was angry with for the things that they had done. And through the course of that, she was told she would get her sense of smell back, and she did.
Not only that, but it was discovered that she was a natural healer and that there had been this patterning, like you said, all of her life where she had basically been walked on by so many people. She had permitted it, and this was part of coming full circle in discovering who she was, and that was that she didn't have to do that anymore. That wasn't a requirement.
Right. Yeah, that was a hard one for her, and she, I'm not so sure she fully got that lesson 100% before she passed, but she had made great progress in that. She was learning to not, she was what you would call an empath, and I'm discovering
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people out there that are that way, and they don't understand how to turn it off or protect themselves. So this book is a really good book for that, because she got a lot of good lessons in that, and they're covered in the book. But people like that, they can see through people really well. They see their motives, they see their fears, but they have a certain empathy. They love so deeply and care so much that they want to help that person, and they end up taking on the illnesses and the pains and the karmic energies of these people in order to help them so that they don't have to suffer. But what ends up happening is that empathic person ends up suffering. They end up, you know, having this disease move through their body and having that karma worked out through their body and their life. And there are other ways to help people in their healing, and being an empath is not always the best way to do that.
Right, usually it isn't, because you reach a point where you cannot, the body's only going to be able to take so much. So
yeah.
It's sad, but in 1995, she was diagnosed with a very serious health condition. And she had been not feeling well for a long time. What happened?
Well, she got cancer. She got ovarian cancer. And I feel pretty strongly, I mean, there's no absolute certain proof of this, but this was at a time when her twin sister, who she did a lot of empathic healing for over her lifetime, had been complaining about having, that she thought she might actually have cancer in that same area of her body. And she had gone to the doctor. Before she went to the doctor, her twin sister called up Catherine and told her, you know, what she was afraid of, and that what she was afraid the doctors might find. And the next day when she went to the doctor, she was just fine, and her problem was just gone. And you know, and then Catherine started having symptoms, and slowly over a period of time, Catherine turned out that she had cancer. And, you know, of course, that's what ended up ending her life.
Now, this was something that as she was going through it, you were very much involved. Of course, when you have a loved one that has a terminal illness, it is a tremendous drain financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. As you were going through this experience with her, this is part of your love story as well. What were the most significant changes that you found yourself growing through in dealing with a lot of the issues that come up when you have someone who is terminally ill?
Oh, we went through a lot of things as a result of that. You know, like you said, the financial hardships and the emotional hardships. And, you know, we were studying to be healers at that time. And so it was also a really big blow to, our egos, for one thing, to our understanding of what a healer was. But on a good level, it really helped us understand really truly what a healer is. And, you know, we tend to, you know, if we think of a person as being a healer, we want to think of them as like an auto mechanic. You take the car in and you get it fixed. And it, mm-hmm. and they get it fixed. You know, whether they have to replace a single part or the whole engine, they'll get it fixed if you put enough money into it. Well, unfortunately, our physical lives aren't quite like that, you know. But from my perspective, all healing is of the mind. Our lives are eternal lives, and we incarnate into the physical world, you know, multiple times. And so the thing that we take with us, the treasure that we store up in heaven, so to speak, that's like the Bible talks about, is our personality. That is the one thing that we take with us. So as we grow and change our habits of thought, those are the things that go with us. That's the one thing that persists in our lives. Our money doesn't, our physical bodies don't, but our personalities do. And these diseases transform us in ways that we cannot imagine how they will transform us. I know for me, going through this brought a lot of compassion into my life, brought a lot of patience into my life. It taught me what it was like to be in service to somebody at such a level as I had to be in order to help Catherine through this. And, you know, Catherine experienced what cancer was like and how difficult it was and, you know, and the pain and suffering. And she was able to experience how to be a happy, loving person even in the midst of this extreme suffering. And she accomplished that. She did very well with that. She showed me that and that it was possible.
And you have wonderful stories in here that are relating to special animals that came into your life. I know we're just about out of time, Michael. Your book, Unforgettable, do you have a website that people can go to? Because I think your love story, as you describe it in the book, of course, we can't go into a whole bunch of detail. We don't have enough time on the air. But the growth that both of you evolve through, and you feel Catherine very strongly with you even today. What's your website that people can visit?
It's unforgettablebook.com. And if you go to that website, you can order the book there directly, and that'll come through me, and I'll autograph the book for you. But you can also get it through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So, but if you go to unforgettablebook.com, you'll find the full name of the book and my name spelled out correctly, so then you can then find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble if you choose. You can also order it from a bookstore. Unfortunately, it's not being carried by most bookstores yet, but that'll change eventually, especially if more of your listeners buy the book and tell the bookstores, hey, get this book.
Well, Michael, I will be happy to let my listeners know the correct spelling of your last name, Skowronski. That's Skowronski. Michael Skowronski, Skowronski. Go to his website, unforgettablebook.com. And you'll be able to learn more about this very, very real love story. And it's the type of love story that's about two real people and what they went through. Michael, thank you so much for being my guest today. And I wish you the best. I know that you're involved with teaching and involved in sharing a lot of the things that you learned in your time with Catherine and the marriage that the two of you very much we're very glad that you got into, regardless of the lessons that were learned. And I'm so glad you took the time to write about it.
Well, thanks, Donna. It was a pleasure being on your show.
This is Donna Seabolt. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment here. Remember, go to Michael's website, unforgettablebook.com. The book itself, Unforgettable, A Love and a Spiritual Growth Story. Donna Seabolt here. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-T-A-P-P TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I'm broadcasting to you live from Fairbanks, Alaska, but telephone lines are open. That's right. You'll be able to call in and chat with me anytime during the next half hour. Here are the toll-free numbers. You can call in to 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, or 888-815-9756. For those of you in Canada, 888-815-9756, and we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let those of you in Alaska know I'm going to be here in Fairbanks through Wednesday, and then four days after that, I then am going to be in Anchorage. So if you want to be in touch with me, all you have to do is call my 800 number at my office, 800-872-8852, and then I'll be getting the messages, and then I will call you back. Also, what's going to be coming up, you heard Teresa Tapp's comment about this wonderful exercise program. You've heard her on my show. Well, we're going to be doing a broadcast from Tampa, Florida, at her retreat that's coming up at the 1st of August, or not August, October, excuse me. I'm going back. I'm supposed to go forward. Anyway, the 1st of October, I'm going to be flying to Tampa, and we are going to be doing a live broadcast from there. And you're going to be actually hearing the stories of men and women who are doing this phenomenal, phenomenal exercise regimen that takes just 3 square feet of space, no heavy impact, and believe me, folks, it works. So this is going to be upcoming. Also, for those of you in the state of Washington, I want to let you know that I'm going to be doing the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. That's a one-day event, and that's on the 27th of this month. That's a Saturday. So from 9 until 6, there's going to be this wonderful activity. I'll be doing many consultations there. So come on out, say hello. I'm going to have a lot of books for sale. There's just a whole bunch of opportunity to be able to interact with me one-on-one. So if you have time on Saturday, September 27th, make a date on your calendar. And then in the middle of October, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, I'm going to be in San Francisco. I'm going to be at the Wisdom Festival. Now, this is an annual event, and I was a part of it last year, and I'm so thrilled to be able to be a part of it this year. This is an event where people come in from all over the country. They've got speakers, they've got vendors and services, actually from around the world. And if you want to know some of the latest research and information regarding the development of self, health products, all kinds of things, this is an event at Fort Mason, California, Fort Mason in San Francisco, that you do not want to miss. So go to wisdomfestival.com. I myself am going to be speaking there, and I'll also have a booth, and I'm going to be doing many consultations. But come on by, say hello, and do just tell all your friends about it, because these various activities that I'm participating in give me an opportunity, one, to meet you, and two, that it gives me an opportunity to share with you a lot of the good things that are going on by many, many different people. So I encourage you to just stop by at any one of these appearances if you have the opportunity in your part of the country, wherever you may be, if you happen to be where I am and I happen to be where you are, however that works out. And so let's move right along. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Now, by the way, I want to thank those of you who are sending me stories via email, and as I'm able to, I am using them. So if you want to have something special shared on the air, just send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Well, Caitlin Powers, I've got this utterly, utterly gorgeous, gorgeous photo of a huge, huge tree, and I believe it's a maple tree. I don't know where it is, but the picture is just mind-boggling. It's just gorgeous with this magnificent sky as a backdrop, and the trees are changing. And, of course, up here in Fairbanks, where I am right now, the trees turn gold. They don't have a lot of the reds and the various tones of color like you have on the East Coast because it's a different type of an environment up here. But it was breathtakingly beautiful just flying in. Well, when I saw Caitlin Powers' little poem, she says, when the goldenrod is yellow and leaves are turning brown, reluctantly the summer goes in a cloud of thistle down. And that's so true. In the Pacific Northwest, oh, my goodness, the leaves have been turning color since the middle of August, believe it or not. So I think we're going to have a pretty wet winter. But when you watch nature, she sends so much information out by what she does. And it's fascinating when you take the time to study nature. You get into a rhythm. It's as if it tells its own story. And it helps you to understand sometimes the cycles of life that we go through. And I think that is so very, very important. Nothing is constantly up. Nothing is constantly down. There's all kinds of shades of different experiences that you can go through in between. But this is one of my favorite times of the year, the fall. Why? Because it's just as if Mother Nature says, slow down and just enjoy what's around you. There is a feel in the air. There's a little bit of coolness. I guess that depends where you're living. But up in the Pacific Northwest and up here in Alaska, it's definitely coming into that feel. So it's almost as if you want to start doing like the squirrels do, preparing for the cold weather, and you want to start putting stuff aside, and you want to start toning things down and getting things ready so everything will be nice. Because as you go into fall, then there is that whole shift of energy. And then, of course, winter follows. And it happens every year. But it's such a wonderful, wonderful time of year. I just absolutely love it. Well, I want to let those of you who have not talked to me before know that all I need from you is your first name or initial, so give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I have some information by Sarah Bates, and she said that scientists have come up with a unique device that actually may totally revolutionize speech research. They have developed high-tech dentures that capture minute details of one's tongue movement in unprecedented detail. And if you've ever been around someone that has had a speech impediment of any kind, there's almost a frustration. You wish that there's something that you could do. And there was some famous man in history, and his name is escaping me right now, who had a terrible stuttering problem and a terrible speech impediment. And what he did to overcome it was put pebbles in his mouth. He went on to become a very famous orator. But he put the pebbles in his mouth to force his muscles to work differently. And he learned how to project his voice that way. Well, I don't know that that's what anyone would really like to do, but I've known people that have done that, and it has caused them to learn how to enunciate, how to speak more clearly, how to be more articulate in the way that they express themselves. Now, this has been a 50-year period of research, recording the movement of the human tongue during speech. Now, so often, when they tried various devices, put them in the mouth, to try to figure out where the tongue was put, it caused more problems than it really helped. So their data was not very accurate. Now, there's a doctor by the name of Christopher Genan from a particular university, and he said the tongue is like any other human tissue. It's flabby, but yet it acts like a liquid and a solid. I want to share more of this with you because I think it's important. We've got a caller on the line, so we'll be coming back to that. But this could make a difference for maybe someone that you know. Let's take this first caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Hi, this is Wendy. I'm in West Virginia.
Hi, Wendy.
I called you last year, or a couple years ago, actually, about a vacation I was taking. You said it was going to be rocky, but it went very well. A little rocky, but it went very well.
Well, I'm so glad.
I'm starting on a new project tomorrow, so I wanted to get a little insight.
All right. First of all, without knowing what the project is, I want to say you have really taken on a big chunk of something here. It's like I see this huge cake, and you're not taking just a little wedge. It's like you're putting both hands into the cake, like a little kid would, and just saying, I'll take this part. And I'm looking at what's left on the plate, and I'm going, mm-hmm, you took a fair chunk there, but you're up to handling it. You really are. However, you must learn to listen and listen without assuming that you're in error. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. It does. I get defensive very quickly.
You need to turn it off, hon. If you find that defensiveness coming in, your muscles getting real tight in your arms and a constriction in your throat, I want you to listen to what someone says. I then want you to take a very deep breath, and without them knowing you're doing it, take a very, very deep breath in through your nostrils and then very carefully let the air out through your mouth.
Okay, I'm taking notes here.
Okay, let it out through your mouth, but you do it in such a way that nobody knows you're doing it.
Okay.
And you just let it out. And then if you're still agitated, and this can be done like in less than, 30 seconds.
Sure, sure.
But if you do it and then you still say, I want to punch this person's lights out, you need to pull back and say, I think you're making a very good point.
Yes, I do try to do that. Yes, you're right.
All right. But what I want you to do is that when you make the statement, I really think you have a point here, but could you be a little bit more clear? Because part of your brain is slamming a door on what they're saying. You're not even going to hear what they're saying.
You're right.
So what happens is when you give yourself that little bit of time, and again, it's just seconds,
mm-hmm.
If you say, boy, I think you've got a good point here. Won't you give it to me again? I want to really be clear on how you feel about X, Y, Z, whatever it is. And then make notes about it and say, all right, let me think on this. And then let's come back to the table and discuss it. And if the other person gets really huffy or really arrogant, which I really don't see too many people around you like that.
Right.
But it seems like there's one.
Yes, you're right.
And I look at the one, and all you need to do to diffuse the one is just say, I'd really like to think about this.
Oh.
How about if we meet in about, let's just let that rest on the table for about 10 minutes here, because we've got some other things we want to cover. And then let's come back.
That's excellent, because it's going to be dealing with quite a few people who have a lot of input, and this one person can really take over, and so I need to learn how to deal with her.
Okay, hon, I know we're going to take a break here. Will you stay with me? Because I'm not finished. There's something else I wanted to share with you.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
Stay with me, Wendy. This
okay,
is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. We're going to come back to Wendy, 877-876-5227. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. Before I go back to Wendy, tomorrow is going to be an open mic day. I didn't book anybody as a guest, so the entire hour is going to be open for your phone call. So I wanted to be sure and let you know about that. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Teresa Tapp. And I'm looking forward to that a great deal because of the big event coming up. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Kenneth Condrell about the unhappy child, what every parent needs to know. And also Phil Cousineau, stoking the creative. If your creative juices have dried up, hey, we're going to figure out how to get them flowing again. All right, let's go back to Wendy. By the way, if you want to call me too, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Wendy, are you still with me?
Yes, I am, Donna.
Okay, dear. What I wanted to say, and we had to take a break here, what I wanted to say to you is when you ask the, you know, to let an item rest, do something physical where you've written a note, you take and you put that piece of paper with that note to your left so that in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever it is, you're going to get to that subject matter. And then you start addressing some of the other situations. And if the person gets real pushy, say, let's rest on this because I want some input on this. I really think you've got something here.
Okay.
So that diffuses that person. Then go to the business of some of the other people and make each and every one of them feel equally important. And then say, this is a matter that was brought up a few minutes ago. I'd really like all of your feedback in this.
Okay.
I want to get input from each and every one of you here. Now, the reason I say that is because apparently the environment that you are taking on, this project, if you do not have people working together as a team,
yes,
then you're going to have your petty irritations with a bunch of children.
Right.
And you,
yes,
you don't need that.
Right.
You don't need that.
Right.
So you, in a way, have to take the positioning. I say have to. I guess you wouldn't have to do anything unless you wanted to. But really, seriously, if you take the positioning of, I want this to be a team. I want this team to understand how each and every person in it is important.
Right.
And you state that. And you keep that orientation. Those individuals that are really pushy, very arrogant, they want to be the head chief with the big war bonnet, you have to let them know. And you can do this in a very gracious way. You can be very firm. But you don't need to be defensive. They will pick up on your defensive posturing so fast.
Yes, yeah, that's what I have issues with. Yeah, right, right.
So if I can make another suggestion, pretend like you're standing in front of a, well, actually, in your own mind you can do this, but you can actually do it in front of a mirror.
Okay.
And imagine this group, and imagine, you know, Big Bear number one, and then you got Big Giraffe number two, And then you've got the big gorilla over in the corner. It's number three that's going, you know, this type of thing. And it's beating his chest, and you're going, oh, good gracious. So, you know, whatever you can use. I'm just making up the animals here.
Right.
So you just look at them, and then you say, all right, we're all in the jungle together, folks. Now, Mr. Aya playing Tarzan over there, that's fine. But you have to realize that this is all part of what we need to work together to achieve.
Right, so, and it's important that people do have different personalities because they have different input.
Absolutely. And I think when you make it a team and you say, I want your input, this is a very good suggestion, very good series of comments. How should we address this and get the input from people? And then say, I'm going to take your information, and then we're going to work on this. And then let's have another meeting, maybe tomorrow afternoon or whatever, but we're not going to sit on this for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I think you have got some very sharp people. I'm seeing one gal who is, I'd say, sort of young, but she's quiet. She doesn't say a lot.
Right.
And you want people to feel like they can express their opinions without being smashed down.
Right.
And when you do that, and it's going to take some time, but I'll tell you what, this project could be finished in record time. What is the project, by the way? I have no clue.
Well, actually, it's working with veterans who in a program. It's called Psychosocial Rehabilitation and Recovery Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Okay.
In the veterans program. And I'm actually a participant. I'm a patient.
Okay.
So,
I think this is a big issue.
I have to stay overnight, 2-3 nights a week, because it's a couple hours away from me, and because I have issues from child abuse and on and on and on. So everything you're saying is very important. It's a group of people that I did know one woman from years ago, so I don't feel isolated. But you're right, it's a team. Everybody's important. We're all working for the same recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my sons when they were little, even now, I said, we're a team. We support each other.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me for interrupting you.
Okay.
I think what you've got here is an opportunity for you to see how your experiences, good, bad, and indifferent, are going to be worth their weight in gold, because it will give you a common ground that people will feel safe in communicating within. And that is so very important. It's so easy to sit in an ivory tower, reach a bunch of books, and be holier than thou. But if you've never seen the street, if you don't know what the street is, if you haven't gone through a rape, there are things in life, if you've never known hunger, You have no idea why someone would go and rob something.
That's why I'm excited about this, because the therapist didn't live through this. They're great help, but it's the people who, the other patients that actually do the most support, because they are going through what you're going through or went through similar things.
Wendy, we are just about out of time here, hon. Do keep in touch and let us know how you're doing. And by the way, I do have a wonderful, wonderful piece of material. One of the authors that I interviewed a few months back on post-traumatic stress syndrome. If ever you'd like to know about that book, I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. I can see the cover of it, but the man that deals with this kind of a situation is one of the most compassionate police officers I've ever encountered. And this is a fabulous man. So you can call my office and leave your name and number and that you'd like that information. And then when I get back from Alaska, I'll be sure to get it to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life gives you experiences so that you can grow. You're not meant to just be a speck of dust and dirt in this place called life. You are meant to be an active participant and giving it the best you've got and growing into the best you possibly can be. It's yours. Reach for the best. It's yours to have. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back here same time, same place tomorrow right here on bbsradio.com, and I'll be broadcasting again from Fairbanks, and we'll have a great time. Open mic tomorrow. Don't forget, tell your friends. They'll be able to call in at any time during the hour. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.